Hello, everyone, and welcome into CrushTheStreet.com. I'm Kenneth Amadori. Markets have been melting down to the news of COVID-19. Anytime we get a glimpse of good news, I mean, Gilead had some positive news regarding this new drug that might show some positive reactions and helping people. Stocks move up really high. I mean, Dow futures were up 800 points, and then gravity starts to take over. It really is very difficult for markets to believe any sort of good news, considering the amount of momentum that we're headed towards when it comes to unemployment and just the world being at home. The economy is not moving. And of course, we've talked about the debt bubble that has been bursted time and time again. I mean, a third of renters are not paying their rent. Companies even like Neiman Marcus are not paying their rent. Nordstrom canceling their dividend. And there's a lot to talk about in this interview here, but gold in this environment has been a winner. One of the few winners in this environment. The miners, I will say, have yet to really efficiently price in what we are seeing with the underlying gold price. The GDX is actually where it was in 2016 when gold was $1,370. And here we are at $1,700. And that just goes to show the undervaluation of the companies compared to the underlying gold price. So we are going to be speaking today with Ian Slater. He runs an early stage company, Libero Copper and Gold, trading under the ticker LBC on the TSXV and on the US side, LBCMF. And yeah, let's get right into it. Ian, thank you so much for coming on Crush the Street with me today.
Oh, thank you, Kenneth.
Well, as I was already stating, I mean, we are in a once in a 100-year event that really can't be compared to anything given the nuances. Let's start off our interview here. Can you share your thoughts on the damage that is taking place and how much of a disruption this is for the financial world?
Well, it's unprecedented and unbelievable what's happening. We couldn't imagine where we are 2 months ago, right? But this is exactly why people hold gold, right? Gold is insurance against these type of black swan events that you just can't see coming. And not just gold, physical gold, which is trading at $500 more than paper gold, right? But also that and gold miners and gold explorers. And the more you work down that chain, the more leverage you have, right? So once we get further and further into this, then the gold price will definitely go. It's easily going to be above $2,000 this year, like within a month, maybe even $2,000. And then the leverage you get on the gold explorers when you make a discovery is just unbelievable. It's one of those once in a lifetime events where you can get stocks going up tens, hundreds of times, right, in the gold industry.
So what is going on in the miners at the moment, in your opinion, given the higher gold price, but, you know, the valuations being down? You know, can we attribute that to what's going on with COVID-19 and just the retail market and investors just don't have the money at the moment, and think the chips need to settle for ultimately that rush of money to enter the space? You know, just kind of give us an idea of what we can expect going forward as it pertains to mining stocks and gold.
Well, mining stocks have done well since this happened, actually, comparatively to the rest of the market, right? Even junior mining stocks have already bounced back to where they were before the virus hit. So compared to everything else in the every other kind of stocks, every other kind of industry, gold stocks are doing great, and it's exactly where you want to be. But also just look back at the last time in 2008 when you the first thing that happens is everything gets hammered, but the first ones back are gold, and it happened this time too. You saw right away with the gold price, as soon as the stock market crashed, people sold gold as well, but it was because they had margin calls. They were leveraged up, and gold was the only thing that they could get a bid on. So that all reverses fast.
Absolutely. And I would totally agree with you on that. But I guess as it pertains to where the gold price is compared to, you know, where we've seen miners, let's say in 2016, the GDX was at the same place that it is now. with a $1,370 gold price at its highest point.
Right.
And here we are at $1,700 gold, and it's not being reflected the same way. So what could we attribute some of that to?
I think it's just nervousness, like you said earlier, just nervousness about the markets overall. And as we do get through this and people do start going back to work, I think gold miners will be the ones that are the first ones out of the gate.
So let's talk a little bit about your company. And this is an interesting thing with the world's deeming certain businesses essential, non-essential. Of course, you know, for the person who is working a non-essential job, that is essential to them. You know, it's kind of a frustrating thing for a government to tell you you're non-essential or you're essential. And it's obviously we're seeing the world experience things that we've never seen before. But a positive thing for Libero specifically is that the Canadian government has deemed exploration and mining as an essential service. So talk about this a little bit and how significant this is. And maybe this is a good time to bring up how capital intensive mining is to just turn off and turn on, and you know why this is beneficial for companies who, let's say, are in Canada.
Sure. Well, there's a lot of questions there. You know, part of it actually relates to your last question is why are some of the gold stocks not really taken off? And it's because of that. It's because they're operating in jurisdictions like Mexico, for example, where they've shut down the entire mining industry and all the mines are shut down. It's happened in Peru as well. So those are big mines that are shut down. So if you have mining stocks that are exposure to those jurisdictions, for sure, they wouldn't be the place to invest right now. With Libero, well, thankfully, we're in British Columbia in Canada, and it's an essential service. So we're going full speed ahead with our drill program this summer. Talking about how capital intensive it is. Yeah, for sure. It's just look at the copper industry, for example, where because we have a few large copper projects. It's those things typically take. It used to be 10 years, but now it's edging up to 20 years from discovery to production. And they cost $5 billion to build a copper mine now. In Panama, for example, they were doubling the canal recently, and First Quantum was building a new mine there. The CapEx for the new mine was bigger than the canal.
Ian, at the moment, you know, with the current market cap of Libero, early stage, and again, talking about opportunity here, it's real, and this is something we've talked about prior to this interview, is it's really being valued for only its Big Red gold project and with two other copper projects, you know, getting zero value for those. And one thing that you made me aware of is that a discovery in the prolific Golden Triangle could be worth over $100 million alone. Can you talk a little bit about this and the opportunity? And, you know, you talked about this drilling program, the fact that, you know, in Canada, you're going to be able to drill, which is amazing, and not be derailed on that. So talk to us a little bit on this.
Sure. Well, we really have two businesses, right? We have a gold exploration arm and we have copper, actually existing assets with a lot of historical drilling that have been significantly de-risked. So when we say early stage, it's really our gold exploration. Our copper business is not early stage, it's more mature and closer to development. So talking first about the gold, and that's actually the picture behind me here is our Big Red project. This is the Golden Triangle in British Columbia is one of the most prolific exploration camps in the world. It's been very hot the last couple of years. There's lots of work going on there and new discoveries happening. There's lots of existing mines. For example, Newcrest bought the Red Chris mine, which is close to us. Pretium's Bruce Jack is in the Golden Triangle. And close to us is a GT Gold has a project called Saddle. When they made a gold discovery a couple of years ago, their stock went up to $100 million, like you say. And then the year after, they made a copper discovery. And we have very similar geology at Big Red with porphyry copper gold targets surrounded by high-grade gold targets. And our game plan is to drill out those projects just like GT Gold did. And it is early stage exploration, but there's a very high chance of success here. We've done all of the groundwork and we know exactly where the mineralization is.
Ian, let's talk about copper for a little bit. And I think this is going to be a great education for people. And copper in this environment, we have to assume that this stimulus money, some of it's going to go into infrastructure and the demand for copper. But not many people are aware that copper is antimicrobial. And obviously this 9/11 moment that we're experiencing in 2020, this is going to have a health standards change that is going to impact how we build things, what we use. And again, copper being antimicrobial, I mean, this is something that I think nobody was really considering as an opportunity when it came to this specific metal. Right. But here we are with this game-changing moment. I mean, so many things have changed so fast in the last few weeks. Give us an idea of what the future might hold and how standards might change, which might include copper.
Well, antiviral as well as antibacterial, right? So it's you could see all kinds of uses for copper, and it's not just new uses. This was historically what copper was for. If you look at old houses, all the doorknobs are brass, it's copper. In hospitals, everything used to be made from copper. And that's all going to come back now. People save money with stainless steel, but stainless steel has none of those same properties. So now you'll see brass again. You'll see copper nickel alloys again in doorknobs and hospitals. We've already seen it in some airports. They've already started installing copper counters. So when you're sitting there waiting and you touch the counter, it's all copper now. It's some masks. They've started weaving copper into the masks. And already before this, though, we had a huge supply problem with copper, with the electrification of the world. It's demand for copper has been booming throughout the world, and it will continue to. Every time you buy an electric car, far more copper in that car, and then far more copper needed to get the electricity to your charging point as well, right? So it's double everywhere. There's and now adding on this additional supply demands, for sure when people are building new houses now or new hospitals, they're going to be using a lot more copper. So it's going to be great for our business, but it's going to be tough for the world because there's not going to be enough copper to supply that demand. Already we're forecasting shortages in the next few years. And then also with existing industrial uses, we were right on the cusp of a bull market in copper when the virus hit and the economy crashed. But I believe that's only been delayed 6 months. As soon as everybody goes back to work and governments do huge stimulus packages, which they have to do, it'll be big infrastructure projects. It's all copper, right? It'll double the demand of this, double the opportunity from what we had, which we thought was a huge opportunity just last month. So it's a very exciting time to be in copper.
Ian, talk about it from this aspect. How important is copper, and how can it be compared to maybe some of the other industrial metals, in its usages and its importance in the world?
Well, it's the ultimate one. It's, when the people talk about battery metals like lithium and cobalt, nickel, there's more copper in every battery. Every battery uses copper, and not just the battery, but everything around it too, right? Is to get the electricity to and from the battery, it's all copper. So compared to any other metal, it really is. I mean, they call it Dr. Copper because as soon as the economy takes off, copper is the first to go. You always know when there's an economic boom because they need copper.
I'm going to cut that part out for my pause there. All right. So I'm going to ask that Makoa question here. Ian, let's talk about the Makoa mine. What are some similar mines and other companies? And is there any way to value its metric if it becomes a producing mine in short order here?
Sure. Yeah, I'd really like to talk about that. If you just look at mines that were sold to majors, so what majors bought development projects in the last cycle around 2004 to 2011, there was a dozen development projects which turned into mines in South America that were purchased, and the average purchase price was $400 million. And Makoa fits right in that, in the same kind of grade, same kind of tonnage. And then if you look back even to existing mines, we're in that same belt where we are in the Andes, which goes through Peru and Chile, dozens of existing mines similar to Makoa that are owned by major copper companies. So this is exactly what they will be looking for. And if you look at comparable development companies, there are very, very few copper development companies in the with projects in the Americas. And same for Tenichi in Colorado. If you look through Colorado, Arizona, that whole area, lots of big copper mines, especially down in Arizona way, that compared to Tenichi and up through, if you go further north too, up through British Columbia, a lot of similar grade and tonnage mines to Tenichi that have been operating for decades. And I think another big part of it too is what we'll see is a deglobalization, right, of the world, where people will want their supply chains close. And people will definitely want those copper mines to be closer to America than further away, especially I think it will be a big impetus to building new copper mines in America.
Ian, you mentioned some gold projections. Any idea on what you would expect going forward here? I mean, any sort of speculation? I know that's always tough, but yeah. What would you speculate, you know, in a reasonable speculation? Obviously, we can see an anomaly happen and it really shoots up, but, you know, what's a reasonable speculation as to where the copper price could go here in the next 6 months to, you know, 2 years?
Well, our mines are all modeled at $3 copper. Development projects are modeled at $3 copper, and they work very well as mines at that price. But I could see over the next year copper being $4 once we get through this. You know, it's an easy target for it to be.
Ian, from what I understand, the company wants to follow in the footsteps of Ross Beaty, you know, resource legend, successful model of Ross Beaty.
Yes.
Let's talk a little bit about that. You know, what does the company currently own and how does it intend to create more value out of that? And who are the insiders and their positions?
Sure. Well, the concept of Libero actually was to replicate what Ross did in the last cycle. When I was mentioning those dozen projects that were sold in South America last cycle, Ross and his team did 5 of them. Right, so a huge amount, and his VP exploration, Leo Hathaway, is also my business partner in Libero and our VP exploration. So Leo worked intimately on all of the due diligence, acquisitions, de-risking, exploration programs of these projects in Ross's Lumina Group, and they were very successful. The earliest stage investors in the Lumina Group made 55 times their money. So that's the model, and we already have 2 large copper projects that really fit that model. We're actually very close to acquiring a third one as well that's also in the U.S. So this is we're exactly along the game plan that we want to acquire these projects, and actually this hiccup in the economy is actually given us an opportunity to acquire even more of these copper projects. So we're definitely using that opportunity to increase our inventory of projects.
So I guess it's like trying to pick your favorite child here. You know, what are you most excited about when it comes to the future of the company? You know, the gold prong, the copper prong, or both equally?
Both equally. I think the timing is just slightly different. So right, starting from next month, we're going to be drilling Big Red behind me here, and it'll be very exciting. If we have a discovery hole here, you know, the sky's the limit on the stock price. And, you know, I regress, but one of the things I forgot to mention about Big Red, as you can see behind me, is you know, glaciers come and go, but luckily for us here, this glacier's going, and there's outcropping mineralization there between those two glaciers and those two glaciers that no one's ever seen before, and really high grade mineralization. So that's what we're going to be drilling. Sorry, back to the current question is so very excited about Big Red this summer, because we're you know, grassroots exploration is something where you can just make unbelievable value, right? But all of that is underlaid by the value that we already have in much, much more developed copper assets. And within 6 months, I think we'll be back in a copper bull market. And I'm very excited about Makoa. I'm convinced that it will be a mine, and we'll de-risk it over the next 12 months. And it'll be exciting times with talking to majors about that project. And the vision there with all of these projects is once we are in a real bull market, like I think I'm sure we're going into, is to actually what we call it is a starburst of these assets into all different companies. So shareholders of Libero today will own shares of a new company for each of these assets, which with the goal to sell each of those separate companies to majors.
Well, lots to look forward to. I mean, obviously, a tsunami, a perfect storm of events for both copper and gold going forward here in the position of the company, which is very exciting. So if people want to keep up with the company and speak with you, find your website, Ian, please let them know where they can go and what they can expect to find.
Sure. It's the best place to find us, and all our contact details is liberocopper.com. All our contacts are in there. Please call me.
Ian, thank you so much for coming on Crush the Street with me today. I really appreciate your time and updating us on this opportunity.
Well, thank you, Ken. Thank you for having me and taking the time.